Hey Chasers, welcome back to Chasing Clout. This week I have an extra sweet surprise, and when I say a sweet surprise, it's literally a sweet surprise. Today I have here with me Miranda and Lauren of Flower Power. You can follow them on Twitter at Flower Power NY, so it's literally F-L-O-U-R, so I'll put it in the description. And they're here today to talk about their booming business and being female entrepreneurs and best friends. Lauren, Miranda, welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Of course. And also, listeners, in case you didn't notice, this is my very first episode with two guests. So we'll see how that rolls out.
We're basically the same person, so it'll definitely be fine.
Yeah. But as you guys may know, you constantly see their bakery on the timeline, which is a super good thing. You know, they have the cutest little treat boxes, and they're actually working on a pretty special project right now. But I'll let them tell you guys about it. But kind of just to kick things off and get started, I'm really curious, how did you both get into baking?
For as long as I can remember, I've been into baking. Honestly, I think one of my friend's parents in probably middle school went to CIA, and we were talking to her about it, and she's like, yeah, I had a class where all we did was decorate cakes, and a light bulb kind of went off in my head, and I was like, you can go to school to decorate cakes? And I'm very stubborn and kind of one-track mind of a person. So I was like, that's what I'm doing. That's it. And kind of from that moment on, just started getting into baking, which my parents tried to be like, okay, we'll get you a baking mix here and there. And then it kind of escalated into homemade frostings for the boxed cake. And then, okay, I'm going to try and make the cake from scratch, which just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, I grew up in the kitchen basically with my mom. She baked with my sister and I from when we were little, especially around the holidays. It was always something I just enjoyed doing. It was very therapeutic and relaxing. And then when the Food Network became a thing, I was obsessed. I was like an 8-year-old obsessed with watching the Food Network. And I kind of realized as I got older, you can do this for a career. Like, this could be your life. This is so cool. And I kind of never looked back from then on. I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, I definitely think it's so interesting that both of you have found such a fruitful hobby. Honestly, I'm not a baker. I try. And I know people are going to come at me and say something like passive aggressive, but I think out of like all the things that you can cook, like cooking and baking, like baking is its own very specific category because there's just so much. And I know there's science in cooking, but there's so much like detail work in science and chemistry and baking that makes it so complicated. So the fact that both of you were able to do it at a young age is just so impressive.
And I think that's like what I enjoyed about it. You know, like it's so scientific. It's so specific. You have like rules and guidelines and like a process.
Right. Like
follow.
If you do this thing, if you follow this recipe the exact same way every time, you know, you're going to get the same cake, you know, you're going to get the same frosting. So it's very comforting, I think, to have that predictability. And especially when you're baking, you know, commercially, the way that we do, everything's on a scale. So you're measuring things down to honestly, sometimes the microgram when it comes to bread baking. So it's just very much, I know exactly what I have to do and I know how I'm going to do it and I know what will happen. But I mean, with cooking, at least you kind of have, I can fix this if something goes wrong. That with baking.
Yeah, I definitely get where you're saying that baking has such a little margin for error. And I think that's why it's so daunting to so many people. It's actually pretty funny to hear you say that everything should come out consistently, because I feel like so many people who don't bake regularly, like myself, every time I bake even like a similar recipe, it comes out slightly different. Maybe that's just me.
I mean, it also could be environmental, you know, if you don't have a super like
calibrated oven or, you know, use the same measuring cups, but however it works, whatever comes out good.
And, you know, and it's clear that both of you are very attuned with each other. I mean, it's not strange for anyone listening to know that both of you are very close and not only just business partners, but best friends. And so obviously this brings up the question, both of you are on the podcast and both of you are here. And I'm really curious, you know, how did you both meet and how did this like friendship really start?
So we met literally on the first day of school, of culinary school. Yeah, so in college, Lauren actually was not my partner, but she was the table directly behind me. And I think we both cried on the first day of school.
Yeah, we were both like, I want to go home. Yeah. I miss my family.
I think I borrowed a tissue from Lauren. Our our chef read us this super emotional letter that her daughter was leaving for school. And she read us this like 3-paragraph heartfelt letter. She was like, I hid this in my daughter's belongings. She doesn't know it's there. And me and Lauren are just sitting there sobbing. Like, I want to go home. I miss my family. Neither of us had been away from home for a super long time. So I think we shared a tissue. And then there were definitely a few other moments where we kind of just realized, like, oh, this person is my person.
Yeah, and I think it's so interesting and obviously very special that both of you were able to have that very, like, fateful encounter, if that makes sense.
We don't even have to communicate with each other sometimes. Like, we just look at each other and just know, like, what the other person is thinking. I, like, was talking to Miranda about this today. In our labs, I knew that she was, like, my person when I like, heard a facial expression that she made, which doesn't make sense, but she was, like, she asked her partner something who, like, forgot something in the oven, and I felt her panic across the room, and I was just, like, this girl. I was, like, she knows what needs to get done. Like, she is the one that I need to, like, work with, and I think from then on, we did everything together. We had all of our labs, all of our classes. It just,
We purposely started scheduling, like, doing our, like, college pick your classes. Like, we had to do them, like, 6 a.m. for our school. So we would log on at 6 a.m. We would have, like, these papers that we spent writing out together the night before. And we would always make sure that we, like, got into the same labs, the same academic classes. Because we were just like, I need to just have you as my partner in labs because all of these other people are nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I definitely think, like, just that, like, mental connection you both have. I mean, it's very obvious from, like, talking to both of you in the way you answer and even, like, the chitter-chatter we had before recording the podcast. Like, you're very, very connected and attuned to each other. And I honestly think out there, you know, of course, every single relationship is different. But obviously, you're, like, a very special brand of best friends. Of course you are, to, like, start a business together and not kill each other along the way.
I definitely, you know, both of us sat down before we, like, made our partnership official. Lauren had her own business, and I had my own business separately. And we were kind of literally doing the exact same thing. And we're like, why are we doing this alone? This is so hard to do alone. We both live in New York. Neither of us want to leave New York. So we sat down and we're like, what happens if we stop being best friends? Like, what are we going to do? How does this work if one day, you know, things get so bad and we hate each other? Like, what is the plan? And we sat down and made a plan, which I think took a lot of pressure off of everything because you're like, okay, like, you know, now we can just enjoy this for the ride that it is. And I mean, honestly, I think it's only made us closer. We see each other a lot more often. And yeah, I mean, I definitely think we're very lucky in that sense. We're pretty much always on the same page. A lot of our conversation is like, hey, like, this was my thought. I just want to make sure you're having the same thought.
Yeah, and obviously, like, that's a very strong working relationship you both have. And, you know, you kind of alluded to this in your answer, but I'm especially curious, and I'm sure the listeners are too, but where exactly did the idea for Flower Power come from, or how did this all start? Because you both have obviously come a super long way and have built this business together, but I'm super curious about the beginnings.
So both of us were kind of doing the cupcake thing back when Cupcake Wars was really big and people were not getting wedding cakes and they were getting towers of cupcakes. So I feel like I was doing a lot of that in high school, which I think Lauren was too.
Yeah, and a lot of cake pops. Cake pops are like a very big trend. So we were doing a lot of that just like on the weekends after school. I mean, Miranda and I both started doing our little like side hustles in high school.
Yeah, I was literally selling cupcakes out of the trunk of my car in my high school parking lot. I almost got suspended for it, but I didn't. But yeah, we were roommates junior year of college. So we were living in Providence, so we actually had, like, a full kitchen and a dining room and a living room on, like, New York City. and we just kind of were like, you know, I kind of knew how to ship things. Right. Lauren kind of,
had, like, a lot of local – I'm from Brooklyn, so I had a lot of, like, local customers who would still reach out, like, for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And Christmas was approaching, and they had moved our – Christmas break at school.
Oh yeah.
So we were both like, we're not going to be able to do orders. Like, we're literally going home the day before Christmas Eve. Like, how are we going to do this?
Because that's how we were making money when we were working in college. We were basically not broke college students, but we just had summer jobs and we didn't work during the school year full time. We did, you know, a cake order here, or I'll like go home on the weekend to make these custom cookies. So we were like, right. Christmas is a big deal for us, Christmas and Thanksgiving. And we were like, how are we
going to do this?
We were each planning on making like at least $1,000 each, like each of those weeks. And that was a big deal for us.
Yeah.
And we kind of panicked and we're like, okay, like, fuck it. We're doing this together.
Out of the apartment.
We were Flower and Frosted.
Yeah. Cause my little side business was called Frosted by Lauren. Miranda was Flower Power. So we merged it together. We baked like 1,200 cookies out of our college apartment.
Oh, my gosh. The oven literally had two racks, and it wasn't even a convection oven. It was, like, we couldn't even tell if the oven was at 350. We had to do so many test batches. We brought a mini speed rack from the restaurant supply store.
And we had to make all of our cookie dough at home, so we literally drove cookie dough packed in coolers with ice packs from New York to Rhode Island, and then like had
shoved
to,
it in our tiny freezer.
It was insane. I don't know how we were
crazy. That's so crazy.
We did like almost 100 orders that year too, which like it doesn't sound like a lot now with the volume that we're doing, but like
looking back
the
on
circumstances
it,
of it all
and finals
and we had to leave. We were literally in the middle of finals week and we were like, why did we do this to ourselves?
And, like, then from then on, we, like, partnered for the rest of the holidays.
Yeah, we did Valentine's Day together.
Easter, Passover, senior year, we did it again. And then
we graduated, and we were kind of, like,
so sad.
Yeah, we're like, why can't we do this anymore? I kind of continued Flower Power as an online business because it, for me, Flower Power was always established online. So that was kind of how I had my start. I was like, okay, I'll just do it on my own. But I was, like, having to cap orders at, like, 20 boxes per holiday because I couldn't do it by myself. And then both of us, you know, started working for other people.
Yeah.
So we were basically running other people's bakeries after graduation.
And I kind of stopped doing my little side thing because it was just getting too much with my regular job. I would come up and help Miranda, you know, here and there. It was fun. Like, we got to see each other. We got to, like, have sleepovers and spend time together. But I wasn't able to do it on my own anymore. We just would sit and talk about it, about how when we missed it and how much fun it was.
And it was honestly just really hard to work. I mean, when you work in any sort of, you know, food service job, you're working at least 50 hours a week. And especially with baking, you know, you're getting to work at the latest 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So we were, you know, up around 5. We would leave work around 4 or 5. And then I'd come home and try and bake all these orders by myself. My parents would help me. I mean, my mom is a cookie scooping champion. My dad still to this day does tie all of our bakery boxes when we do orders. But, you know, it just got to be too much. And I think both of us knew that the end goal was to, you know, do it our own way, have, you know, our products be what we wanted to do, look the way we wanted to, run a store the way we wanted to. And we were just kind of like, I guess it's now or never.
Yeah. I like to say Miranda proposed to me. And that's how Flower Power, this version, was born.
What? Did I take you out for donuts?
Yeah, we went for, like, brunch or something. And then, like, a walk by the water. And then she was like, so.
Did we go to, Dumbo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly a proposal, and it's definitely interesting to hear that.
And her fiance actually proposed to her, like, in the same spot, like, a year later.
He knows Miranda's basically my wife, so he's aware of the relationship.
We
so.
Share custody.
Yeah, exactly.
So it all worked out, yeah.
Exactly.
But kind of along that vein, you know, it's interesting to hear how both of you really collaborated from the start before Flower Power really came to fruition. I mean, that story of both of you baking together in a tiny apartment, I can't even imagine what it must have been like to get those orders out. Like, honestly, I remember in my college apartment making like 24 cookies and being exhausted. So I cannot imagine
I mean, do keep in mind that, like, we were in culinary school, so, like, our labs were make 200 cookies. Like, this is your final exam, so
we making had trained a, for this.
Yeah, it was, like, a marathon. We ran, like, what is it? How do marathons work? I don't know. I don't run.
Like 27 miles, I think.
Yeah. We were doing like the 5Ks before we could qualify for Thanksgiving orders or something.
And we had a third roommate who like just watched us do all of this.
Yeah, I think she thought we were kind of nuts. We would just like leave the kitchen like with a coating of powdered sugar and then we would shower. Yeah. And I just remember like feeling like a glazed donut in the shower of just like, wow, a lot of things just came out of my hair.
Well, kind of along that vein, you know, I'm really curious to hear from both of you. Obviously, you've set this you did this a while ago, but, you know, you're continuing to grow your business and you're continuing to go on this kind of adventure together. And I'm really curious to hear from both of you, actually. Your answer might be the same or it might be different, but I want to know, you know, what's been the best part of really running your own business and doing this thing on your own? Because you talked about baking for other people and working for other people. I think a lot of people can relate listening because the average person works for someone else. But you two are really your own bosses. And so I'm curious to hear what the best thing has been. And also, you know, starting a venture like this must be challenging in some ways. And so I'm really curious to hear what the most challenging parts have been as well.
I mean, I think for us, the thing that we've had to learn the most on the fly is the business end of everything. You know, we've always been bakers. And when you work in a bakery, if you're not, you know, a general manager or a store manager, you don't always have, you know, the insights to how the back end of everything works. I mean, Lauren, like, updates our website herself now, which is a learning experience. Yeah.
A lot of time Googling things and reading how like FAQs and stuff like that. But I think it's also like, you know, everything falls on us. Like it's up to you to fix it. We have each other, luckily, you know, if we need help or
which like is a blessing. I don't know how one person runs a business on their own. I there are things that go wrong and like days when you just have a bad day and then you get three bad emails and you're like, okay. I guess we're gonna just divide and conquer.
Right.
But
you know, you have to figure out like the accounting part of it. Like Miranda and I trying to do math together and making sure things balance and work, you know, it's a learning experience and it's all your own.
Like, yeah. And no one else is going to hold you accountable.
No.
And that's kind of the first thing that I feel like we always tell people when they're like, I want to like quit my job that pays me six figures every year. Right. And I want to do this on my own. Okay. Like that's totally great. But make sure you are absolutely, A, either in love with the thing that you want to quit your job for and you're willing to go above and beyond and basically be logged on and plugged in and checking emails at every hour of the day, even when you wake up in the middle of the night to pee, which maybe is not a healthy work-life balance, but it kind of just is what it is. And B, that like, you know, you're okay to kind of take the risk that comes with that because, you know, the first thing that goes when, you know, something gets too expensive or like a bill is too much or, you know, with what we're doing now with the store is like our pay goes.
Right.
Like we take the hit and we make it work. We make the sacrifice. We put in more time. We make less money or we take home less money.
Yeah.
The business makes money, but it's not going right to us.
But I think there are a lot of positives though, because when you work for someone else, you know, you're helping them with their vision. And now we get to create and do our own, like present our own vision, you know, like we can bounce ideas off of each other and actually see them come to life. Whereas when you're working for someone else, you know, you could present a bunch of ideas, but if they don't like it, it doesn't always work.
You're always
going
to have to add the ingredients they want to a recipe that you've already loved. I mean, there've been times when me and Lauren will, you know, we'll go to every single cute bakery that we come across and we're like, okay, like we really loved this cookie, but you know, the flower power version of it would have this spice in it, or it would be less sweet in this way, or like we'll use this kind of buttercream instead. And we just, we're able to make it our own and we don't have to ask. We have to, you know, we talk to each other, but there's no, you know, asking permission to make something or, you know, making sure you make it in a way that maybe isn't your own artistic
style.
Style.
Yeah.
So everything that we do is us. And I mean, we're very lucky. Lauren and I have a fairly similar style when it comes to baked goods, and our preferences are fairly similar. So we've been able to really craft a pretty solid, you know, set of brand standards when it comes to everything like baked goods, cake design, website, you know, copy, from like the language and voice we use on social media.
Yeah. And I definitely see where that can come into play. An impromptu question for both of you. And I think all of that is very valid, down to executing your own vision and wanting to do things, you know, kind of on your own terms. This is more so a question I have as someone who is finding myself stretched super thin. For those of you listening and wondering where last week's episode went, I didn't drop one because I've been super busy. As Miranda and Lauren know, because I talked about it a little bit earlier with them, I started a fundraising firm and I'm working full time and I have this podcast, and sometimes I feel like I'm stretched super thin. You both have been running your own business for a very long time, and that's obviously where I want to see my business someday. And I guess the question I have for both of you is, how do you manage your time? Because time, of course, is so limited. And when you're doing this on your own and you're running your own business, you basically get to decide how you spend your time versus, you know, supporting someone else's vision or execution. They're going to allocate whatever time is needed towards project and kind of allocate you according to that. And so I'm super curious as to how both of you kind of manage your time and any tips and tricks you may have.
So do you remember in Bread's class when we had to make the production schedule where we broke down like our 8-hour lab day into like, it was like 5-minute increments. Yep. So literally like an exercise that we did in school was we had basically a blank Excel spreadsheet and a list of things to do. And you had to break your day down into literal 5-minute increments. For like the first 5 minutes, I'm going to be measuring these ingredients. For the next 5 minutes, I'm going to be pouring them into a bowl. So like by 20 minutes in, I'll have a dough mixed. And like we had to do that for a lot of different classes.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of hardwired my brain to think about my day like that.
Like when we start a day, when we get together, we will write out everything we have to do that day, down to like, you know, going to the post office, sending an email, like to really take a step back and look at how many things do I have to get done today? Is this reasonable?
Yeah.
Sometimes no, and you have to pivot, and not everything gets
done.
We
also like will brainstorm it almost, and then we'll also then go back, read the list, and put them in a number order.
Yeah.
So like what needs to happen today, like we'll get a star. What could get put, like halfway through the day, we'll be like, okay, what is not happening today that we like...
It'll be okay.
It'll be okay. And like those will get arrows next to them on the to-do list. And then at the end of the day, when we write the next day's to-do list, like that'll be the first thing on the list. So I think, you know, that definitely helps, and just having that, I think it's just being a baker, everything is timed. Everything is like mix this for this many minutes or like bake this for this many minutes. So we're kind of lucky in the sense that it's like every 9 minutes, the timer on the oven is going off and we're pulling out a batch of cookies. So, you know, whatever I'm doing now, like I need to be able to grab that out of the oven in 9 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think also setting some boundaries for yourself, you know, like when to take a step back and realize, you know, this is unreasonable. Like we're tired. Like we just kind of want to hang out and watch some Netflix, and that's okay. Like, you know, you can't burn yourself out every day, and it's okay to be tired. It's okay to be stressed. Brynn and I are stressed all the time, basically, but you know, we want to have some fun too. You know, when times were different, we would go out for a drink or a fun snack.
Like the first 6 months, like when we had the business, there was a period where like Lauren and I weren't seeing each other for anything besides work.
Yeah.
And we both realized, we were like, what's wrong? Like what is this feeling? And we both kind of realized we're not having time where we can just be best friends. Like we don't have time where we can like go and like not check the email for a few minutes and like just grab a mimosa and like go to brunch or like go see friends or like have a family day, because our families are close also.
Yeah.
So I think like having that boundary, having like at least one day a week where maybe you like organize your inbox and like you answer any emails that need immediate attention, but you also, you know, give yourself the break to say, you know, they can hear from us tomorrow, or like I'll email them and tell them that I'll be reaching out to them tomorrow. So I think like boundaries are important, and just like kind of getting to know yourself and knowing your own limits, and you know, being able to say like, okay, we've been at this since, you know, 6 a.m. and we didn't stop to eat lunch and we're kind of cranky and we're not going to do our best work when we feel like this. Like you can't,
right?
You're nothing you bake is going to come out good if you're in a bad mood.
No. So we'll just be like, let's just go put a face mask on and watch some Netflix. Like, we'll try again tomorrow. And that's okay. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely think, you know, those are really good points to make, being sure to allocate time. Because when you're starting a new endeavor, it's so easy for you to allocate all your time towards making it grow. Like, I mean, I'm facing it now and my firm's been alive for like, what, 2 weeks?
Well, also, like, when you're new, you don't want to say no to anything. Right, I mean, exactly. we're kind of in that position now. You know, we're growing rapidly, but, you know, A, we're only two people. We are still only two people. I know that, you know, from our social, it probably seems like we are an army of people, but we're not. It's just us. And, you know, occasionally my parents and Lauren's parents who tap in to help us, you know, set up a big dessert table or pack a bunch of orders. But, you know, you really want to say yes to everything because you want to bring in money and you want to be operating in the green and you want to have like, you want to beat last month's sales numbers. And, but also you want to, you know, be able to actually run your business in a month also.
Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, like, people don't think about the greatest resource there is in, you know, building a business. It's yourself, like literally a story.
The main resource.
This morning I woke up and so in doing this full time and running a firm part time, I was like, I need to find more time in my day. And so I told my boyfriend, and I thought this was so smart when I said it, but now retrospectively, I would never do it. I could take on more projects every day, Leaf, if I woke up at 5 a.m. every day and worked until 8. And that would free up an additional 15 hours of my week.
But also you wouldn't get more done because you would be so exhausted that like I feel like the amount of things that you would normally get done in an hour would get cut in half because you'd be so burnt out.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I mean, I'm not gonna do that, but I think it's really good to hear both of you talk about, you know, the normal parts of starting endeavors like this and how it's okay to say no and it's okay to take breaks, because I feel like so many business owners, particularly men, not to throw shade, feel the need to like glorify this hustle and this nonstop grind and like investing literally every single second into this product. But it's okay to rest and to take breaks and to refill your cup.
Yeah, it's okay to refill your cup. And also just like, you can't go that hard for very long. I mean, sometimes we have to do it. I mean, we've catered, right? The holidays. I mean, we work like crazy, you know, we've catered events for like 600 people and it's just us and we're making almost 2,000 desserts for an event like that. And it's a marathon. Yeah. It's a marathon.
Especially now we're getting into marathon mode between we're fulfilling all of our orders, you know, and then also now we're building a retail store. Our days are split between baking and picking out tile and checking in with the contractor.
Yelling at everyone who's late.
So many different things to think about. Like, what size the counter going to be? Like, measurements, things we've never dealt with before. So it gets to be a lot sometimes, but you can't constantly live like that. You'll be so tired all the time.
And like, truthfully, your to-do list is going to be there the next day. Your to-do list is going to be never ending, especially when you have your own business, because there's always going to be another problem. There's always going to be like something new for you to research or like some new change to the Instagram algorithm for you to try and figure out. And like, you just have to give yourself a break and, you know, be reasonable with what you want to accomplish in a day.
Yeah. And I definitely think that's very real. I too am a list person and sometimes, and honestly, sometimes I try to burn myself out because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's only like 2 things left and I can do it. But I'm going to start drawing an arrow next to my items and hopefully
I'll do it. I also really like doing like either like a weekly or a monthly. This is like the grossest phrase now that I'm going to say it out loud to another person, but like a brain dump. That's valid. Where like literally I'll sit down with like just like a normal notebook and I'll just write down everything that I feel like I need to get done in either like the next 2 weeks or like in this month. I'll do it on like the first of the month. And it could literally be something as stupid as like trim your toenails and give yourself a pedicure. And like that doesn't need to get done immediately, but like that can get worked into a to-do list day, or like that can just be like a reminder of like, you know, a self-care moment is important, or, you know, just that really helps. And then you can kind of organize it by priority, like a little task manager, but on paper.
Yeah. And I definitely think that's valid. You know, now that you say I don't want to say it, but a brain dump is a valuable tool. I don't know why, like in my brain, I can say it, but saying it out loud is kind of like.
I feel feel gross when you say it internally, but as soon as it's said out loud, it's awful. I regret everything.
But, I mean, it's very valid, you know, in starting endeavors. Honestly, I'm not going to lie, like, my bedroom in my house is a shit show since I've started these projects.
You have to clean your room every day.
Like, I have not.
I'm not joking.
I have not cleaned my house. Like, it's a mess. There's some rooms that need trash taken out. Like, and I think, like, making a list after brain dumping and putting, like, trimming your toenails and even, like, the most basic of things makes sense. Because sometimes we need to remind ourselves to do that. Because, obviously, when you do one thing, you can't do another. And it's, like, a compromise.
Yeah, and also, I mean, this is definitely a personal thing, but I really do believe that you should become a stress cleaner and your life will improve greatly. I mean, Lauren has watched me.
Half of college was me just sitting on the couch watching Miranda just like pace around, just picking random things up and putting them in like their proper places or like starting to sort her laundry. She wouldn't say anything. She was just like... quietly get up and just start doing it.
It would always be like after we got like a stressful like announcement or like a bad news or like someone said something to me and I'd be like, okay, you know what I need to do? Color code my closet immediately.
And you just have to let it happen. I would just like sit, it's fine. She's fine. Give her 20 minutes. She'll come back. It's
the apartment will be sparkling.
Exactly.
I wish I was a stress cleaner. I have friends who stress clean, and I wish I could channel my stress into something that productive.
I'm a little bit of a stress cleaner. Miranda's definitely more powerful than I am when it comes to that, but it's kind of therapeutic to start cleaning things.
And I also just feel like, you know, as people who I think work from, you know, our homes, like my desk is in my bedroom. I live with my parents, so like my bedroom is, you know, kind of, it's my space, so I curate it the way I want it to. But also, like, just having it clean and being able to, like, walk into a clean, like, organized space that, like, looks the way that I want it to and, like, doesn't have a to-do list associated with it is so calming, especially when you're, like, you have a million things to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely something that's... Now that I think about it, maybe that would help me with my stress. Just walking into my house and seeing that it's put together, or at least my desk.
Because then it's not overwhelming. Because I feel like when rooms are dirty, it's like looking at the personification of a to-do list. Like, your to-do list, you can turn the notebook around and pretend it's not there. But, like, your room being messy, like, you have to look at that.
I've never thought of it like that. But I feel like now I'm always going to make that connection.
Just make your bed in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think culinary school is like a little military-like. Like, we had uniform inspections and stuff, so I feel like Lauren and her, like, you must make your bed in the morning. Who wouldn't do that? And most people are like,
what is
like,
wrong what with are, you? What are you
talking about? Oh, well, we've kind of covered, you know, the beginnings of the bakery, the beginnings of your relationship and how you've come together and developed such a strong working relationship and how you've really brought this vision to fruition. And I know you have alluded to the fact and mentioned, you know, a retail store. And, you know, besides that, and even, you know, kind of building upon that, I'm really curious, you know, what's next for the bakery and where do you both really envision this business going? I think that different business owners have different dreams and visions, and you can kind of gather a sense of what you both are aiming for, but I'd love to hear a little bit more.
I mean, the retail store is kind of, you know, the main goal that we're working on right now. That's kind of our biggest focus. It's definitely not a goal that I don't think we thought we were going to be working towards in 2020, at least. We thought we were going to be doing, you know, small markets and starting to wholesale and maybe be working out of a
like
commissary
a commercial
kitchen.
Space or something like that. But once COVID hit, our sales tripled with people not being able to visit and celebrate for holidays and things like that. And we just grew so much production wise that we kind of took a step back and we were like, okay, we can't do markets.
Right. All of the markets that we were participating in were, you know, in Brooklyn, in the city. They were kind of, you know, focused on, okay, like there's an event happening, but also there's an artist market in this room of the event space or like, you know, and Brooklyn Flea and things like that. Yeah. Like we were applying to all of those types of markets. And then in March, everything shut down. And we were like, what are we going to do?
So we kind of like took a step back and pivoted all of our plans. And we were like, let's see if we can do this. Like, let's see what we could find. And we did a lot of research and a lot of searching and And now it's coming true, which is just amazing.
But it was months of like searching for a retail space, months of being like, okay, we can only spend this much money on rent. So that means like our kitchen is only going to be this big, which means we can only make this many orders, to then like having the online business continue to grow and be like, we can't only have the capacity to produce, you know, 50 orders a week. We need more than that. Or like we need room for a bigger mixer or a second oven. Yeah. And then also looking at the cost of construction and the investment that goes into, you know, a brick and mortar space, and being like, we can't spend this much money to grow out of this in a year. Like, that's insane. And, you know, the space that we found,
it's definitely a space we can grow into. I think we definitely want to be able to expand shipping, be able to get some wholesale accounts locally, like see our stuff in, you know, some local grocery stores, I think would be pretty cool for us.
Yeah, but, and even just like in local cafes and coffee shops that don't make their own pastries and things like that, I think that would be super exciting for us. And just to, you know, expand, you know, we've done brunch in a box, so we have a full line of
breakfast
things that we've never had anywhere to sell, that, you know, we had a space signed up just to start selling them at, and they were going to be like a co-working space, but no one is co-working now.
Yeah.
So, I
think we're just right now focused on just the retail location and just becoming a strong part of the community.
We expanded our online offerings. Like, we went from having one treat box a month that would only ship out on a specific day for a specific holiday, to then being like, okay, you know what, we're gonna offer like the things that are in this box, but you can just buy the brownies and you can just buy the cookies and you can just buy the specialty item, to then being like, okay, we're gonna have multiple treat boxes, we're gonna have multiple flavors of cookies, multiple types of decorated cookies.
Yeah, we're going to ship out weekly, which is something we'd never done before. No. We would ship out once a month, twice for cookie of the month, maybe, and that was it. So the last 3 months have been like a whole learning experience and a big change for us in a really positive way. But I think we're still getting a grasp on that and adjusting and trying to figure out what it's going to be like now being able to serve customers in person.
Yeah.
Because we've never been able to do that before. Everything's online. So now being able to have that connection.
We literally got one market in before New York shut down.
So,
and it was great. I mean, we were at a stand for two hours. And, you know, our numbers were great. A bunch of people came out just to see us, which felt really nice. We were like, wow, like, they're like, the people who like our Instagram pictures are real.
They like us. They really like us.
I think we have that moment a lot of just like, oh my God, especially now we're running a crowdfunding campaign to help us cover some of the costs for the equipment of the space. And I think literally every single time someone buys something from the bake sale, we're like, can you believe someone likes us?
They want to help.
Like, it's very much like a, like, pinch me, this doesn't feel real, of like, oh my God, like, we don't suck at what we do. So, you know, I think that is, it's a learning curve, but right now the eye on the prize, it's the store.
It's the retail store.
It's everything. I mean, we just finished demolition, so we have an empty 2,000 square foot box. That feels bad. That does not feel good. You can't do anything with that. The health department would not even let you walk in there with a cookie. But I think, you know, as the pieces come together, when they install the countertop, when the equipment gets delivered, like, I think that's when it'll start feeling more real. But that's really what takes up about, I would say, a solid 60% of our time is just, you know, construction related, storefront related research and emails and meetings and phone calls and yelling at people. And
Yeah. Well, that definitely sounds like a huge step you guys took. And I think it's so phenomenal that everything kind of aligned in the right way for that to happen. And, you know, I don't want to say that necessarily because, it was a global pandemic, but.
Yeah. I mean, still, it feels, you know, I think there's definitely like a weird guilt or, you know, just a weird bittersweet feeling for us. I mean, I'm in Westchester right by New Rochelle, which was, I think, the original epicenter for New York State. And Lauren lives in Brooklyn still. So I think both of us, you know plenty of people who were affected firsthand and would not wish this again, even with the success that it has brought our business. I don't think it is worth it, but you know, we've never had more free time.
Yeah, to be able to throw ourselves into the business.
Yeah, and I definitely think there's a lot of different things that I've found during this time. Like, I've found time to start a firm and to start this podcast, but I would not wish for any of this again, just like you said. But I think it's like interesting that there's this silver lining, at least, that you both kind of altered the plan that you had in place and were able to work towards this retail location. And I think it's definitely interesting, and it's definitely a huge step. And so what has it really been like, you know, to open this location? What has your day-to-day been like? I mean, you've mentioned picking out tiles and contractors and things like that, and I'm just so curious because honestly I know nothing about any of that, so I can't imagine what it would be like.
Honestly, we don't know much about it's a learning process for us as well.
I mean, at first it was just every day taking at least 2 hours to look for a space and then calling realtors and having realtors, you know, kind of turn their noses up at us of like, who's this infant calling me?
I would be on the phone with people and one man was literally like, how old are you? Like, that's none of your business. I want to rent your space. That's what matters.
I can pay my rent. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
So, I mean, that was the beginning of the process. And once we found a space, it was like a solid month or two of like negotiating our lease. So phone calls with our lawyer, talking to our realtor, sending a bunch of emails back and forth. So we negotiated a lease.
Yeah. Then doing walkthroughs at the space with contractors.
Yeah. We walked through with like six different contractors. Some of them literally ghosted us. some of them told us that it would cost us over $500,000 to renovate the space. And it was just like a lot of trial and error. We were like, thank you. Literally, thank you next. but, you know, a lot of trial and error. And then we finally found, you know, a contractor that was also kind of a small business. So we very much, you know, vibed with him and his firm. So that kind of fell into place right before we finished negotiating the lease. And then we
started like looking for equipment. It's definitely been a lot of different moving parts. Our brains are split in a million different directions between cookie baking and packaging and shipping labels. And then also all the construction components, which we're still learning about, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, you know, we're lucky because I think, you know, because of how we are as business owners and how we've always been as employees of other places, we've gotten a lot of support where we're like, you know, we can go back to bakeries that we've worked at and been like, hey, like, what is the correct brand of oven to buy? You know, like, what does it mean when the equipment person tells you to not buy something from this country? Like, is that true? Is it bullshit?
Right.
Are they just trying to sell us an oven that's $4,000 more expensive? Or, you know, are they being serious? Like, is the other one really going to break in 2 months? And just, it's hard. I mean, there's no Yelp for opening a business. There's nowhere that you can like read a lot of reviews and really get a firsthand, like, you know,
like a guide on how to do it. We're just kind of figuring it out day by day and
just like asking for help a lot. Yeah, honestly.
Exactly. Asking a lot of questions, being kind of unapologetic about it.
Yeah, and just like being okay, being like, look, like this being is my secure first of like time. Knowing like I'm not a stupid person. I've built this business from the ground up, but what are you talking about?
I've never
about?
Needed business insurance before, so could you please let me know how to do this? You know?
And then just sending a cookie box when someone you know is nice to us and being like, thank you so, much.
So much.
We literally didn't know what those words meant 10 minutes ago.
But I make delicious cookies, so thanks.
So I think that has really been what it's looked like. I mean, just kind of, I think literally the last 2 weeks have been, you know, now we can look at a neon sign.
Yeah.
Like now we can find someone to paint a mural and let's pick out like shelves or paint colors or cute light. Yeah, exactly. Like lights. So like we've kind of just gotten
to the fun part.
Yeah.
I hope.
Hopefully. It feels fun for now, but
now.
Who knows?
Check back in a week. We'll let you know.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to hear you talk about that. Like, you're developing so many different skills and knowledge beyond the typical scope of what you need to run your business. And, you know, it's really interesting to hear you talk about how you ask for help. because I think a lot of people are pretty funky about admitting that they ask for help. I think that not just if you're starting your own business, but just like in your day-to-day life or even in your career, like asking people for guidance or support or help is definitely a necessary thing and nothing to be ashamed of.
No, I mean, I think it's hard for us because often like we are the only women in the room, or we are like the youngest people sometimes by 20 plus years in the room. So we're sitting there and you really like, I sometimes like you literally feel like a baby sitting in a high chair, like surrounded by adults, and you're just kind of like, ooh, like they said this thing and everyone just like kind of nodded and moved on. And I'm now lost. very much just like not knowing what's going on in math class and then being too deep into algebra and being like, shit, I did something at the first day.
Where does that decimal go?
So I think, you know, it's also, you know, again, like a really big investment for us. You know, we have years of building this business at stake, but also a lot of our own money and honestly money from other family and family friends. So it's also a lot of pressure of like, I need to understand what's going on because I can't mess this up and it needs to be done right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, kind of in talking more about this campaign, you know, you've talked about your perspective and your side of it and getting it to, and getting the business to open a retail location and kind of these elements that you're working on. And I'm sure the folks listening really understand that you guys are truly building this from the ground up. I mean, if you follow the Flower Power Twitter, you literally see photos that Miranda and Lauren tweet of like spaces being gutted and
we're ripping chunks off the walls.
I mean, I think for us, it's really important to be transparent in that way because I kind of wish we had seen more businesses do that. And I mean, I think we always knew it was going to be hard. We just didn't know what it being hard even entailed. So I think being able to be transparent and A, kind of show everyone like opening a, or like running a bakery isn't all like sprinkles and smiles and edible glitter.
We don't like wear cute outfits every day with like hair bows and make cupcakes and just laugh around the kitchen.
Right. Like we're not sprinkling glitter on each other and just like, like it's very stressful. We're baking, you know, for sometimes 12 hours a day and then also answering emails and dealing with a lot of stuff. So I think, you know, we try to be transparent with people. And I think that kind of has resulted in having a much kinder customer base. You know, we've been really lucky. We've only gotten a few sassy emails since, you know, things get lost in the mail. But I think, you know, people appreciate the fact that we're like, look, like,
it's just us. It's just the two of us. We want you to get your package just as much as you want it, you know?
Right. And we want you to have something delicious. We don't want the post office to, like, punt your box across the porch. You know, like, we don't want that for you. We want you to, you know, experience the joy of eating our baked goods like we do when we make them.
Exactly.
And I think that transparency is appreciated. I mean, obviously for everyone listening, like I am like a consumer of their products and I'm like just a normal person. Like I don't have any specific stake in their business besides just wanting both of them to succeed because they're awesome people. But I love seeing you guys post pictures of gutted spaces and being honest and transparent about what steps are next, because I think it's really inspiring for other folks out there who may be even older than you are and may not have the same circumstances to see this and to think, you know, wow, they're really going out there and doing this. And it takes so much more work than people think. I think a lot of businesses, especially ones opening, you know, retail locations, it's like one day a business magically appears, but you're really showing each and every single step you're taking. And I also think that empowers people to really support what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, we have people who are like, oh, we'll stop by the bakery and pick up our order. And I'm like, the bakery is dirty.
Don't come
there. It's not a bakery. Don't go there.
Please don't go there.
You know, I think they don't really understand how much of a process it is. You know, we hung some coming soon signs up in the window literally the day after we signed the lease and got the keys. And we had people calling me like, I'm ready to start work tomorrow. And I'm like, that's great. We have 3 months of construction.
I love your enthusiasm. Yeah,
like, keep the energy. We'll call you in October.
I think it's important for them. That's why we wanted to show everyone the transparency of this process, because, you know, we're running this crowdfunding campaign and we want people to know.
Yeah, we want people to care and as much as we do. Exactly. I mean, no one will ever care as much as you do about your own business, but, you know, hopefully
at least feel like you're along for the ride and a part of it and see, you know.
And so many of our customers really have been along for the ride. I mean, when I started shipping for Flower Power, it was like 2014. So we're going on 6 years of, you know, shipping baked goods. And some of the customers who, you know, are contributing to our crowdfunding campaign, you know, were our first subscriber ever to Cookie of the Month, or, you know, bought boxes when me and Lauren did our Christmas box for the first time together. So they've literally watched us grow. I mean, the first time I think I ever shipped cookies, I just put them in a bakery box and put them in a post office box and was like, Godspeed, and just sent it out into the universe. And people were like, yeah, so the box was covered in oil and everything was broken, but I mean, it
was delicious.
Kind of tasted good still. And then it was like, okay, now I'll add a, like, I'll seal it in a plastic bag so it won't get stale. And like, we'll add some packing paper to the box. And oh, like, this kind of packing paper actually works better. Like, they've really watched us evolve from, you know, young teens, still in our teens, honestly.
Still teens.
So, you know, they really have been along for the ride. So I think we really want to share this with them, because we wouldn't be able to even be doing this without them.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely a very special bond and relationship that you're having with these folks who have supported you along the way. And so for the folks listening, whether they came from Flower Power or they're just regular Chasing Clout listeners, you know, what are some ways that people can get involved with the campaign and help out? You know, I'm sure folks are listening and they're definitely interested in learning more. So what would you say would be the best way, besides, you know, obviously donating?
So, yeah, I mean, the best thing I think for a small business that you can do without spending any money is to not only follow them on social media. And this is not just our business. This is any small business. Yeah. This is any, like, one of your friend's side hustles that you know. Follow them on social media, but, like, comment on their posts, engage with their posts, put them in your stories, like, tell your other friends to follow and engage with them. Always hype up their work.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. Just, like, the sharing, like, the word of mouth sharing. Most of our customers come from direct referrals, or, you know, someone gifted them a box and they really liked it and now they're buying a box for themselves, or they're gifting a box to someone else. So I think, you know, getting gift cards so someone else can enjoy a product, or, you know, gifting a product or service to someone else that you know, to kind of just help them increase their customer base in an organic way.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, the best thing you can do besides literally going onto our website and buying something from the bake sale or just buying something,
just
period.
A treat box.
So for those of you interested, you could visit their website at flowerpowerny.com. It's flowerpowerny.com, and either donate to their crowdfunding campaign. I've seen people tweet about the brownies that they get when they contribute and the stickers and how amazing they are.
Yes.
But they also have their new back-to-school themed boxes. I personally ordered one, and I actually had to DM Miranda because she tweeted a picture of another one that was available, and I wanted the wine ones more. But I definitely agree with what you say about signal boosting and engaging, because I think it's such a huge impact, especially with smaller businesses. I mean, they're not like Target or Taco Bell where they're never going to see your message. You know, each and every message is read. I definitely do that for my business. But for people who are kind of listening to the podcast and really interested in starting their own business, you know, what advice would both of you give? I know that's a loaded question.
So I think first of all, I want to say Lauren and I are the ones who answer, you know, all of the DMs and all of the messages that we receive from everyone. And I think anytime, especially, you know, someone our age or younger, or, you know, is a woman, or is, you know, someone who maybe doesn't have the greatest upper hand in society, reaches out and is like, hey, I have this idea and I have no idea what to do. Like, can I just talk to you for 30 minutes? Most of the time, as long as we don't have like a world-ending bake happening that week, we'll make some sort of time to talk with someone. I think, you know, reaching out and asking for help is the biggest piece of advice. Just ask questions, send the cold email to people, you know, reach out to people that you admire and see if you can get a second of their time. If you can afford it, literally book their time, pay them for a consultation. Things like that, and just really trust your instincts.
Yep. And you have to be resilient.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's definitely not going to work out on the first try or the second or the third, but I think you just have to really be passionate about your end goal and just, you know, keep your eye on the prize and just
Be willing to get up when you mess up. I mean, me and Lauren have put out treat boxes that were like, this is the best thing ever. This is going to get retweeted into oblivion and we're going to have a million orders for this. And it flops.
It doesn't happen. And that's okay. We just have to be like,
okay, we will never make that again.
Now we know. This isn't what they want.
Yeah. And also I think, especially if you have a product or service based business, you know, ask your existing customers, you know, what did you like? What do you want more of? And even just like putting surveys out there, which it's hard to get people to answer, but just being like, what do you want from us? Yeah. Like, what can we give you? What is the next thing that you want to buy? That's been really helpful. We definitely run a lot of polls or send a lot of emails being like, these are your options. Which one would you pick?
Yeah. And be accepting of criticism. Yeah. Also, you know, it's hard sometimes. This is our baby, you know, like we're so sensitive about it, but I think you have to be open to the criticism in order to be able to succeed.
Yeah. I mean,
grow,
especially when we were, you know, working on our business plan and looking for funding, we would send it to people and they would straight up just be like, I think it's stupid that you want to open a retail store. And we're like, All right. Cool.
Thank you for
your
time.
Is there anything we can do to make this better for you? No? All right. Bye. So, you know, we definitely had a lot of rejections. I mean, we reached out to like dozens of people for funding before we got
But just don't give up. You have to really be able to work hard and sacrifice a lot and put a lot of time into it, but it is super rewarding in the end to see
it feels
all
so much better than, I mean, look, it's definitely more stressful than just collecting a paycheck and being able to clock out and leave work at work. You can't do that anymore, but it is probably the most rewarding thing I think, you know, we've ever done.
Yeah.
And it's just really nice to have so many people excited for us. The community that we're actually opening the retail store in has been so warm and so welcoming, and we are so, so excited to have them as our customers. We feel very lucky to have such a wonderful, accepting community waiting for us to open our doors on top of our rock solid customer base that's located across the US.
Yeah.
So that is, It feels wild. I honestly just like sometimes me and Lauren are just like, can you believe? Look at us.
Yeah. And I definitely understand what you're saying by saying that's super fulfilling and that you're kind of looking at this point you're at, like, I can't believe I'm even here. And for both of you, I mean, just looking at what you do and what you've built, I think it's incredibly impressive, not just because I'm a woman that's around your age, but, you know, for you to go out there and to really make this hobby that you both share, to get your best friend in on it and to start a business and to really bring your vision to life, I think that's so inspiring and super duper cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. And to do it on your own terms too. I don't think, you know, a lot of people along the way when they start a business or when they do a new endeavor, they kind of lose parts of themselves, but I don't think you two have done that. And so kind of on this note, to end out the podcast, I'm really curious, and I'm sure some folks are too. They may know what I'm going to ask. They may not. Only I know. But what is your favorite thing to bake? Because I know you both bake a lot.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Favorite thing to bake or favorite thing to eat? Because they are different.
Well, I want to hear both since you brought it up.
Okay, so my favorite thing to eat, this is going to sound absolutely psychotic, but I really love raw dough. And like, that is cookie dough. That's cookie dough 100%. But it's also sometimes chaotically like raw bread dough, which is really not good for you. Don't recommend.
Don't do it.
For legal purposes, I'm not telling you to eat bread dough. But you know, that is like my favorite thing to eat. I will literally house like a ball of raw cookie dough before I eat a baked cookie. That's so chaotic. I hate that I said that out loud, but you know, it is what it is. And I think my favorite thing to make is like when people kind of just tell us their favorite flavors and send us like one picture from Pinterest and it's like, I like this energy, make me a cake. And you know, we can create a really cool new cake flavor and a new frosting flavor and just really decorate the crap out of it. That's definitely my favorite customer and my favorite thing to bake or cake.
I mean, for me, my favorite thing to eat anything with sprinkles on it, if I'm being completely honest. I love rainbow sprinkles. I would put them on anything if it would be
I've watched her eat handfuls of them.
In stressful times. But honestly, warm cookies are like my favorite thing.
Ooh, that's true. I think we're both definitely spoiled. We're like,
I keep cookie dough in my freezer and I just will like bake myself a cookie at 9 p.m. just to like eat it warm sometimes. And it's amazing. I highly recommend that. Don't eat bread dough, like Miranda said, but definitely, definitely eat a warm cookie. Do that.
Yeah. Or eat the raw cookie dough that you keep in your freezer.
Don't do that. And my favorite thing to bake, I mean, it's a hard one, honestly.
No, what do you like? What is Lauren like?
What is Lauren like?
I feel like I should know this answer.
Tell me, Miranda, what do I like? I have to say, like, when we do the cutout cookies, yeah, like the decorated like sugar cookies, sandwich cookies, I like buttercreaming things, I guess, and like decorating things. That's not a professional term, but, you know, like putting the finishing touches on like all of the special sugar cookies people
when get Lauren us. When Lauren bakes, she'll take like broken cookies and like leftovers of frosting and also leftovers of toppings, and she'll just start like layering them all into this like monster, and it's always delicious. I always get one. She makes one for each of us.
They're little samples,
but it's like, oh, like, you know, I had to cut the top off of this Twinkie, and here's a little bit of the filling for the Twinkie, and here's also a chocolate chip, because that's never gonna make anything worse. She's like, just eat the whole, it's just one bite, it's like, yeah, one little bite of like snack.
Exactly. What can I say? I'm resourceful. I don't like to waste things.
No, there's no waste. We always have a scrap bowl that, like, my family will be like, do you have scraps? Which like, sounds so chaotic, but I'm sure we'll turn that into something when we have the store.
Yeah. Okay, well, both of you, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and letting me ask you all these questions about starting your business, being besties, and doing everything together.
Thanks so much for having us. This is so fun.
And I appreciate you answering all the questions, as you always do, very honestly and transparently. For those of you listening who want to learn a little bit more about what they do, their website is flowerpowerny.com. I've spelled out flower like 3 times in this episode, so I'll do it again. It's flowerpowerny.com. And that's also their Twitter handle, @flowerpower. And I think it is for your other social media, right?
It's actually Flower Power NY.
NY.
For everything.
Yes. I thought I said NY at the end. But I'll also leave the links in the description. Again, it's Flower Power NY for everything. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the website. Thank you guys again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
All right. For those of you listening, stay tuned for next week's episode, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys.